I'm doing great, Joseph. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Sorry I was a little late getting to the phone today, but I'm preparing for my trip to Cuba tomorrow.
Yeah, I was just talking about that. How exciting. So how are you flying down there? What airlines are you flying?
JetBlue. And actually, if I had waited, I'd save more money. I mean, the fares to Cuba now, from Los Angeles, which is a new market for any flights. I mean, the East Coast has already been fairly inexpensive. But, you know, when we went to Cuba in November, we had to take a charter flight from Miami to Havana. There was no direct U.S. Airlines flying into Cuba. But that's changed thanks to the Obama administration. We hope it stays that way under the next administration.
Mm-hmm.
But now American Airlines are able to fly into Cuba. And American is flying, and JetBlue is flying. Alaska is just starting from Los Angeles. And
wow.
I just went online and was talking about it. And, you know, round trip flight between Los Angeles and Havana is about $300 round trip.
Not on JetBlue?
On Alaska Airlines to Havana. JetBlue, I looked the other day, flying from Los Angeles to Camagüey. They've also opened some more destinations in Cuba. There's Havana, there's Camagüey, there's Santa Clara, and there's Holguín, which is the home of the town that brews the beer for Cuba, and also a pretty good connection to Santiago de Cuba, which
wow.
is the second city in Cuba.
Yeah.
But those fares from Los Angeles to Camagüey, which is about the middle of the country, are under $250
round
trip.
That's unbelievable. I didn't know Alaska when I'd do that one in a second. My gosh, Alaska into Havana for $300. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Well,
it varies. But this is nonstop, too. Nonstop
wow.
from Los Angeles to Havana.
That's amazing.
I'm having to fly with JetBlue to Fort Lauderdale. I'm doing a red eye tomorrow night.
Mm.
And then I have a layover for a few hours before I can get in because I'm going to the Oriente, which is the eastern part of Cuba, to Holguín, and then going down to Santiago de Cuba.
Oh, my. So the other side. Well, I just need to properly introduce you. Joseph, I absolutely adore Joseph. I watched him so many times on TV. He's got so many very fascinating stories and places he goes to with wonderful different kinds of personal adventures. Of course, he's been honored with 4 Emmy Awards, 14 Emmy nominations, 38 Telly Awards. 38 Telly Awards.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that is pretty crazy, that one.
But,
you know, it's we've been doing this for a long time. We're about to go to the Mekong Delta to do a show that covers Cambodia and Vietnam. Really covers the Mekong River and the sites you see off of that. I mean, you can't obviously do a half-hour show on Vietnam and Cambodia. You hardly scratch the surface, but we'll hardly scratch the surface as it is. But we're basically sticking to attractions off the river, and including, of course, Angkor and the Angkor Wat archaeological complex. So that's going to be in the show. And then after that, we're staying over. And then in about 5 days after we finish the first show, we'll be doing another show on Myanmar, what used to be called Burma. And so that'll be our half-hour show on that, too. So, we're off and running 10 seasons of shows.
Congratulations.
10 seasons of Travelscope begins in a month, in the middle of February.
Yeah, absolutely great year last year as well. You had some amazing destinations, South Korea, Hungary, Cook Islands, Peru, Armenia, France, and you went to France twice, I guess.
Well, we had two shows in France. We went once, but we stayed there for 21 days.
Wow.
And shot two shows.
How nice is that?
Each show takes about, you know, eight to nine days of actual shooting and getting to the shoot, And then we had 3 days in Paris in the middle.
How wonderful.
To kind of recoup from the first shoot, and then we went to Bordeaux and did that. So
you're just amazing. You just nonstop traveling. I absolutely loved your attitude about traveling, of course. But I do want to talk to you. I know you did this amazing tour last year to Cuba, and tell me how that went and what you thought of it.
Well, we went in November. We took some of our viewers with us. It was a good group of people. We concentrated mostly in Havana, and then we also went to the Benares Valley, the main town there. There's two main towns, Benares itself and Pinar del Rio, which was actually the birthplace of my grandfather. That's where he came from when he came to the United States at the turn of the century. And then we also went to Varadero, which is the famous beach area that has been a tourist destination for many years now. Not for Americans, of course, because we couldn't travel there, but for everybody else in the world was going there. And it's it has a feel of being a little mini Cancun, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's not half as developed as Cancun, but it certainly has a lot of nice hotels and all-inclusive properties and the kind of things you see a lot in the Caribbean and on the different beach resorts in Mexico. So that was Varadero. Benares and that area, that the Benares Valley, is beautiful. It's a beautiful part of Cuba in the far west, of tobacco everywhere. It's where all the great Cuban cigar tobaccos come from. As I mentioned, my grandfather came from there, and he was a cigar maker and a cigar blender, a blender of cigar tobacco leaves in Miami and in Florida and Tampa, Florida. And when he was after he came here, turn of the century. So that's a beautiful area with caves and very beautiful rock formations and cliffs and valley and very, very green. Because of all the agriculture, and as part of our trip, we visited with some of the tobacco farmers and, of course, bought some Cuban cigars, which, thanks again to the Obama administration, you can bring back as many Cuban cigars and as much rum as you want as an American these days. So we did a little bit of both. But we certainly had a great time there. It's a beautiful place. And then the rest of the time we spent in Havana and Havana Vieja, mostly in the old reconstructed part of the city.
Now, you seen, was it very, very crowded with tourism, or how was it? How would you say it is right now? I've heard there's already a flood of tourists coming in.
Well, yeah, there are. There's a flood of tourists coming in, American tourists.
Mm-hmm.
Cuba has been a tourism destination for Canadians and for Europeans, for South Americans, for other Caribbean countries for decades. For the 60 years that we've had the boycott on, people have been traveling there and taking advantage of all the joys of being in Cuba, particularly the touristic joys, the beaches and that kind of stuff. Castro, particularly after the collapse of the Soviet Union, Castro understood that he had to open up the country in order to survive, and for his government to survive, but also for the Cuban people to survive. And so tourism became a very important part of the economy, but it's always been, of course, non-American tourism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, American tourism, half a million Americans traveling to Cuba now, just since the lessening of the restrictions on travel. So it's always been about 50,000 Americans that traveled roughly, basically, illegally to Cuba.
Yeah.
So, and over the course of the last year, it has really boomed. So there was a lot of tourists in Havana, of course. You would expect that.
Mm-hmm.
And there also were tourist buses and people wandering around the Benares area. And the Benares Valley in Varadero is made for tourists. But there's so much of the country. You know, it's the largest island in the Caribbean. It's as large as California, and there are lots of parts of the country where you can really get out and have an authentic experience with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And be in the countryside and not see the hordes of tourists.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm doing, and basically, is right, after doing the trip that we did, on this trip that I'm about to do, it's going to go to Ho Gien, which is an important city in the east, but much smaller and a lot slower than Havana is. In fact, the whole east has that aura of being a laid-back. It's very warm there, so people take it easy a lot. And then we're going to take a regular people's bus, you know, not a tourist bus but also used by locals, to Santiago de Cuba. And that is the center of all of the Cuban music with African rhythms. And most of Cuban music that we all know and love has African rhythms connected to it. And that was that Santiago de Cuba was basically the port of call for the slave trade during the time that Cuba was a slave country. And it was one of the countries in the Western Hemisphere that had slavery longer than the United States. It was in place for a long, long time. But a huge African population there, African Cuban population there that has built up there. So it's a very lively place. They have a wonderful carnival every year in July. And we're going to be there. And, I mean, there's, from what I understand, from what I read, from my research, there's music coming out of almost every doorway. Mm-hmm. So we expect to have a good time and take advantage of that.
Now, is you and Julie are just going for a vacation, or are you doing a show there?
Actually, Julie's not going.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going with a friend of mine.
Oh, well.
Because I came back from Cuba, and Julie's heading actually to Taiwan to pick up another award for us because
oh my
we
gosh.
Won the Taiwan Tourism Award for the third time. I've gone twice and picked up the award, and it's connected to the annual Lantern Festival that's sponsored by Taiwan Tourism. It's quite an event. We did one of our shows on the Lantern Festival, actually. So it's connected to that. So there'll be people who win, particularly journalists who win the award, are, you know, carted around and end up going to the Lantern Festival and get to learn a little bit more about Taiwan. So she's heading there. I'm heading to Cuba. When I came back from the trip with my viewers, I said, that was great. We stayed at the Havana Libre, which was the former Hilton Hotel, we stayed in hotels, and we traveled by bus and tour bus, and we had a guide, and people were waiting for us, and everything was nicely put together in order, like our tours are. But I, you know, being Cuban and in heritage, I wanted to do it a little differently this time. So a friend and I are going to a friend of me are going to Cuba. And to stay in what they call casa particulares, which are rooms in people's homes. Not really a bed and breakfast and not really an Airbnb. But several years ago, when Raul came into control of the Cuban government, he authorized that people could have businesses. Restaurants became privately owned in conjunction with the government, of course, and people in their homes could create rooms and rent their rooms out and make some money. And, the government will take its cut, of course, but it's an opportunity for Cubans who are extremely industrious people and extremely clever to use their ingenuity and to create these places all over Cuba. Mm-hmm. So you can travel all over Cuba and go stay at a casa particular for about $20 a night.
How did you go about finding them? Do you do basically the same thing anyone else would? Just go online and try to see what the ratings are for the place?
Well, I swear by my Lonely Planet and Rough Guides. So in my DK Eyewitness Travel Guides, I try to get as much information from them as I can, and I travel with either a Lonely Planet or a Rough Guide with me when I'm traveling on my own and doing things like an average tourist would do, or an average traveler would do. Let me correct that. And so I got that. And, of course, there's a lot of lots of information online. But there's a couple of sites. There's one called Casa Particulares, .org or .com, I can't remember right now, which will introduce you to someone in the different provinces of Cuba, where people in different cities of Cuba, where people have this offers or make these offers available to you, and you can look at read up on them and learn about them, and then getting in touch with them and actually booking a room is a little bit of a difficulty. You can normally call them, or you can email. Is still not completely widespread in Cuba.
Huh.
So, but some of these sites do have email contact. And there's another site that I would recommend called Cuba. I'm just double checking right now, but I think it's called Cuba Junkie, and. Cuba-junkie.com,
uh-huh.
And I found them to be really, really good. They have not only Casa Particulares, but they have travel information, car rental, flights, hotels, and they talk about the destinations. And if you want the Casa Particulares, you just go onto their site, and there's also an app that you can download, and you take that, and you can take that with you to Cuba, and while you're walking down the street, find a casa, a room.
Wow.
And call them up, knock on their door, and say, do you have any space? You know, so
great tip. Cuba.
Really traveling the way we used to travel when we were, when I was 50 years younger. So, where we just went to a place and said, it'll all work out. We'll figure it out.
You sound so...
I haven't done exactly that, but yeah. I have done it in that spirit.
Well, you really sound excited about it, and there is an excitement about that. I mean, you know, you travel all the time, but there is a difference when you're traveling for work versus when you're just going on an adventure by yourself and you don't have to keep a timetable with a crew and go out and do some shoots and things. So, I mean, I can hear the excitement in your voice, Joseph, about this trip, you know. So,
yeah.
So, and my gosh, you got such a great deal and everything. So you're going for how long?
Well, I'm only going to be here for 8 days. We're going... We leave tomorrow night, that's one of the reasons Julie's not going, is my friend and I are taking a red-eye out of Los Angeles, because when I booked this back in, right when we came back from Cuba in November, like in December, I had a friend tell me, prices to Cuba are ridiculous, and I said, I got to check it out, and I looked, and I saw the flight from JetBlue, and I thought, I'm going back.
So is it?
I still had an urge to want to get out, and even more so. And I love traveling with the viewers, but you're on. I mean, I'm on the whole time that we're on that trip. I have to be, attentive and be. I can't just go walk down the street and take the next few hours and do nothing. I have to be kind of on call in a way.
Well, you're such a friendly person, but I think traveling like this is really great for you. And I'm sure you do have a great blog. People can go to your website and they can find out all about you. What's your website again, Joseph?
Yes, they can go to travelscope.net. That's travelscope.net. And they will, they can get all the information. Our e-magazine is on there, so that gives them every. We do 4 issues a year, so every 3 months we have a new issue come out with has all sorts of travel information and tips and some great stories. We have some great writers who write for us, and so that's in there. Of course, they can watch promos on all of our shows, over 110 shows now.
And great shows. Great shows.
Get in touch with us and find out what we're doing, whether we're putting another tour together or whatever is going. We have our blogs and our podcasts there as well. There's several on Cuba, actually. So it's a very informative site. We just updated it.
It looks
great.
We put
a lot of work into updating it.
Yeah.
And it's a great looking site now, and it's very handy. People can use it on their phones. They can download it, and it works well with smartphones. And so it's a way for people to keep up in touch with what we're doing, but also to plan their own trip.
Well, it's been great talking. You get another call coming, but have a wonderful trip and have a lot of fun. Keep traveling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Aloha.
Aloha.